Okay, we're on Lamed Hey Amid Beis, 6 lines from the end of the page. Okay, this is going back to what the Gemara said before. This is, again, this is much more, much easier. Okay, the Gemara was discussing, the Mishnah was discussing before, if you seduce a girl, there's knas. Okay? We also learned to Din that if it's capital punishment, then you don't pay the fine, according to many opinions, because you get killed. And then you get the bigger punishment, right? Now, there's what's called in the Torah Arayis, which has a biblical prohibited relations. And then there's what's called Shniyos. And the Gemara is soon going to define over here what it means. Shniyos normally means rabbinic forbidden relations. For instance, I can just give you a simple example. Somebody with his own mother is incest, that's biblically forbidden. With the grandmother is rabbinically forbidden. Because the Torah doesn't say, clearly, your grandmother. The Torah says your mother, says your daughter. Right? So certain relatives are what's called arayis, biblically forbidden, and shniyas means the ones that are rabbinically forbidden. That's normally what the word means. Here the Gemara is going to try to figure out what it means in this particular case. So it says like this. Lamed Hey Amid Beis, 6 lines from the end of the page. Tol Rabban Rabban Alut. Arayis, which ones, which relations which are mamish biblically forbidden, that somebody seduced or violated the girl, or shniyos, meaning secondary arayis, and again, the Gemara is going to discuss what this means, ein lohem knas, they're not entitled to a violation of a fine, v'loi pitui, and there's no fine for seducing them. Okay? We're going to see exactly in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to explain this whole thing. But according to this Gemara, if somebody had relations or seduced a girl that would be biblically forbidden for him, okay, there's no knas. Simply because you're going to get the bigger punishment. You're going to get killed. There's no fine. Or shnias. We don't know yet what it means. Then there's another din, hamama'enes. Miyun is like this. If a girl under bas mitzvah is allowed to be married off by the father. Okay? A girl under bas mitzvah, we learn now from a pasuk in Chumash, Piti, Nasati, Lishazah. The guy says, I gave my daughter to this man. A man has an ability to marry off his girl, daughter over 3 years old. That wedding is a biblical wedding. She needs to get its full-fledged wedding. What happens if a girl's an orphan? No father. Okay, so the Chachamim said the mother and the brothers can marry off the girl. That was basically, by the way, just to protect the girl. She shouldn't get, God forbid, molested or raped, or they couldn't support her. So they were allowed to marry off. But because it's a rabbinic marriage, the girl has an option. Before she becomes bas mitzvah, she could do what's called mi'un. Mi'un means refusal. She can say, the girl, let's see, the brother's married off at 10, and right before she becomes bas mitzvah at 12, she says to the husband, you know what? I don't want you anymore. The din is, that's it, no marriage. She doesn't need a get. There's no get. Because it's only a rabbinic marriage to begin with. Okay? So there's no get, and that's called miyun. So it says like this, hama'enes, a girl who declares her refusal to stay married to this guy, which was only a rabbinic marriage anyway to begin with. Okay? Then somebody violated her. Okay? Ein lo leknas v'le pitui. There's no fine for seduction, and there's no fine for, violation, whether it's rape or convince, without, there's no, fine. What?
After 12 years, automatically.
Oh, died. 1 second. If they live together as husband and wife, meaning that intimacy, from the day she's bas mitzvah on, and full-fledged marriage, and then she would need a get.
The rabbinical become the writer?
Yeah, yeah. Because now she agreed to it. If she lived with her husband, a gdola can accept kedushin. A ktana can't accept Kedushin. The father can accept it for her. So the Chachamim said, rabbinically, we're going to allow a sister and the brothers, the mother and not the sister, the mother and the brothers to marry off rabbinically. But the second she becomes a gedolah, even one day, and she lives with the husband, that means she agreed to the marriage. So now it becomes a biblical marriage, and then she would need a full-fledged get. But what happens if this girl refused when she was 11? Yeah, she refused the husband, and then somebody violated her. So there's no knas and pitui. Why? Because she's not a virgin anymore. Because she was married. She lived with the husband. We'll see in the Gemara. Vayetis mishum shemra. And the same thing if a woman that was unmarried because of shemra. This we learned before in the Gemara. It's a pasuk in Chumash. We learned it in the Gemara. The Chumash class. Vayetis shemra means like this: A guy marries a girl, and then he says, she's not a virgin. She was supposed to be a virgin. She's not a virgin, and he says that she committed adultery between the Kedushin and the marriage. Remember, it was 12 months apart, right? So the guy marries the girl, comes the wedding night, he says, she's not a virgin, and I suspect that she committed adultery between the Kedushin and the time we got married. Okay? So what's the din? If the guy could prove it, meaning he could bring Edus, then she automatically gets out. If he can't prove it, because he spoke bad about her and it was wrong, because it wasn't true, he has to stay married to her for life. No, we learned that before in the Gemara. So what happens, our wife that was thrown out of the house because Shitaka was guilty. She did commit adultery. Right? So then, somebody abused her, violated her, what? Eilo knas lepitui. Okay?
Well, what about the thing that's a bad name?
That's a bad name.
What's a bad name?
He says she committed adultery between the Kedushin and the marriage. Okay, so all these cases, the Mishnah says, the Braisa says, whether it's Arayas, Shnias, Larayas, the Gemara is going to get into now, or a girl who did Miyun, a girl who was Meitzi Shemin, I left out one, Islandness. Oh, it's very important then. Islandness. Islandness is the woman that does not develop physical signs of Naira. In other words, like this. According to Jewish law, in fact, the Rabbi at the beginning of Hilchas Isha says, he defined each one of these and says, you should know what each one of these, what it means, or we shouldn't have to keep repeating what they mean. Okay. Islandness is like this. There's certain women that don't develop.
Not what?
Relax. They don't develop signs of maturity. Okay? Another, they don't get two pubic hairs, exhibit certain male characteristics, underdeveloped reproductive system, okay? In fact, islandness comes from the word ayal, which means a ram. Okay? So basically, she sounds like a man, she doesn't develop physically that she can have children or anything like that. So the din is like this, but she's a woman. So, until 20, she has the din of a minor. The second she hits 20, she becomes a begeris. A begeris is a girl 12 and a half, remember? Okay, so she doesn't have a naira set period. Most women are ktanes, the minors until 12, then they become an adult. But between 12 and 12 and a half, she's called naara, okay? And then after 12 and a half, she's what's called Begeris. Begeris is what they pronounce it, but literally is Begeris. Which means she's a complete adult. The father has no jurisdiction over her. The father doesn't get what she gets. The father can't marry you off anymore. But an islandess, because she doesn't develop signs of puberty, so she remains halachically a minor until 20. And then she goes straight to the Bogeris age. So she was never a Naira. Understand? And when the Torah speaks about all these fines, the Torah uses the word Naira. So because she's girl, islandess, is never a Naira, she's never between 12 and 12 and a half, that stage of life, of maturity, she doesn't have any knas either. Oh, come on, the fine. Okay. My, the Gemara says like this, my arayis, or my shnias la'arayis. The Gemara is now trying to figure out what does it mean, arayis, which is the biblical forbidden relations, and shnias, what does it mean? So Gemara says like this, ilei ma'arayis, if you're saying arayis means, arayis mamish, literally meaning, incestuous relations, which are punished by chorus, that God kills you, okay? So then, and shnias, medivri sofrim, and shnias would be only rabbinic prohibitions, yeah? That would be a problem. Because the Mishnah says, or the Braisa says, that full-fledged incestuous relations don't have it, and the rabbinic ones don't, right? Now, the Gemara's question is, why wouldn't there be fine? Why wouldn't there be a knas? Okay, let me explain this a little bit outside and we'll understand the Gemara much easier. When the Torah speaks about guy seduces a girl, rapes a girl, yeah, the Torah says you have to pay a fine. Correct? And the same passage the Torah says you have to marry her and stay married to her. Correct? That's what the Torah says. Chamishim shekel kesef, v'lei sihi al isha, she will be married to him, lo yuchel l'shalcha kol yomav. You cannot get rid of her because he embarrassed her, he molested her, he raped her, he seduced her. Nobody's going to want to marry her. So the Torah says, you know what? You did it, you have to pay a fine, plus you married her for life. So no, one second. No, then she doesn't want this, she doesn't want. But I'm saying if she wants, okay, that was it. Now, the Torah in the same pasuk says, you pay a fine, and you have to marry her. Correct? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara learns out.
That's fine and death penalty together.
Yeah, but we said before, that's, the Torah says, this is an exception to the case. Okay? According to one opinion. Now, no, just think for a second like this. The Gemara says, we learned this before in the Braisa, that the Torah says, you have to pay a fine, and you have to marry her. So the Gemara learns that what happens if you're not allowed to marry her?
Mm-hmm.
It's your sister. So if the Torah says pay a fine and marry her, we learned before that if you can't marry her, then you can't pay a fine. Because the Torah puts the two together. Fine, stay married to her. But if the Torah says, so a guy, God forbid, seduces, rapes his sister, right? So now he can't marry her because it's his sister. So Gemara says, therefore you don't have any fine, right? But now the Gemara's question is, the shniyos, meaning not the ones the Torah forbids, the ones which are rabbinically forbidden, biblically, are you allowed to marry her? Yeah. The rabbis say you can't marry her. But biblically, she's marriageable to you. So then why shouldn't there be a fine? Because when the Torah says, pay a fine and marry her, so if the rabbis come along and say you can't marry her, why should that take away the fine? Biblically, you could stay married to her. You could marry her.
So why did the rabbis change that?
So that's what the Gemara's question is. How could you, if arayis means full-fledged incestuous relations, right? And the reason there's no fine is because you can't marry her. But shnias, if shnias means only ones which are rabbinically forbidden, which means biblically, you could marry them. It's just the rabbi said, by the way, you can't marry them. But biblically, you could marry them. So why did you pay the fine? Why does it say shnias don't have a fine? There should be a fine. Why not? You can marry them biblically. So then there should be a fine. And that's what it says. Kivin de midaraisa chazilei. If biblically the shniyas are allowed, right? Amai ein lahem knas. Why isn't there a knas? The bottom line is you could marry them biblically. So he must say, Ella. So obviously that's not what Shnius means. What does Shnius mean? So he says like this. So he must say, Arayis, when the Brisa says the word Arayis, it means Chayv Amisis Bezdin. Those relations that Bezdin kills you. But Shnius, the secondary Arayis, is only what Kodis. Right? That, like your sister. If somebody is incestuous with a sister, Bezdin doesn't kill you. Bezdin kills you an Eishes Ish, a married woman. Bezdin doesn't kill you. All these things are Karis. God kills you. So if you're telling me like this, Arayis, no fine, because Bezdin kills you. So again, it's no fine. You can't marry the girl. Right? Plus Bezdin kills you. Karis, is also no fine. Right? That's what the Brisa seems to say. Shniyas would mean those people that punished, get punished only with Karis. Right? Which would imply if there wouldn't be forbidden because of Karis, if you wouldn't be allowed to marry a woman, only rabbinic, a negative commandment. No Karis, no Bezdin killing you. For instance, I'll give you a simple example. You can't marry a mamzer, and if you do, there's no capital punishment. No capital punishment. It's only a negative commandment in the Torah. Right? If a kohen marries a divorcee, it's biblically forbidden, but there's no capital punishment, not by courts, not by heaven, there's no karis, there's no misa b'dei adam.
Excuse me, I have a question to ask you.
You do?
Yes. When you're talking about killed by heaven, what does that exactly mean?
You die young.
In this life?
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't apply today. But in Talmudical, in biblical times it applied.
But no Jewish soul is ever killed in heaven, is it? I mean, you go to
certain sins cut you off, but you could always do tshuva.
While you're still here?
Yeah. So therefore we must say that Chai V'Lavin, but if your Bezdin only whips you, Yeshlam Knas, there is a Knas. Why? Umani would go like Shimon HaTeimani. Yeah. It means like this. This is very easy Gemara, by the way. This is just knowing some facts. If a guy, we learned this also a long time ago in Kedushin, in the early exhibits. If a guy comes over to a single sister, yeah, in front of two witnesses, gives her a ring, and say, Arei at mekodesh yaslib et abazu kadas meisha v'yisrael. It's worthless. She's not a married woman. Because it's biblically forbidden. Not only is it biblically forbidden, it's punishable by kardas, or Bezin kills you, right? It's worthless. Correct? But what happens if it's only forbidden with a lav, with a negative commandment that you get lashes for, but you don't get killed?
Mamzer.
A mamzer. Right? If somebody, or a kohen and a grusha, a kohen and a divorcee, yeah? A kohen is not to marry a divorcee, correct? What happens if a kohen comes over to a single divorcee? No, she's divorced, she's not married now. A kohen, even today, will come over to a grusha that he's not allowed to marry. He gives her a ring in front of two witnesses and says, "Arei at mekudeshes li b'tabazu kadas meisha v'yisrael." Yeah. If he marries her, he's transgressing a negative commandment in the Torah. He doesn't get killed. He doesn't get kadosh, and therefore, the kedushin is valid. That woman needs a get. Or if somebody comes over to a mamzer, or mamzeres, right? A regular Jew, comes over to a female mamzer, mamzeres, which is forbidden to marry, but it's only a negative commandment, no capital punishment involved, not by heaven, not by earth, and he gives her a ring in front of two witnesses, she needs a get. So the way the Gemara is learning, this is one explanation of the Braisa. What does it mean, Arayis and Shniyis don't have Knas? So he says, because both are capital punishment. Arayis means where Bezdin kills you. Shniyis means where Karis, God kills you. But if it would be only a negative commandment, that means if somebody seduces a mamzeres, he would have to pay a fine.
Is there any word for it? Like Arayis, Shniyot, Shalishiyot or something?
It's Kedush Lavin. Yeah. Or Chayv Lavin. Okay, Ikadami, another way of learning this is like this. Chai v'mis, Arayis, what does Arayis mean? Chai v'mis is Bezdin and Chai v'krisis. Arayis means both. God kills you and the courts kill you. What's Shniyis? Chai v'lavin. Because he holds like, he's going to say in like Shim v'nasya, that Shim v'nasya holds that the fact that you can't marry the girl, even if it's a negative commandment, you can't, there's no fine. And then what was Shnius means? Chai v'lavin. It's only allowed to live with the girl. So Mani, who would it go like? Then it would go like Rav Shim ben Manasseh. Okay? Because the question is like this. Does it have to be fit to become your wife or to remain your wife? Shimon HaTimani says, it doesn't have to be able to remain your wife. As long as she becomes your wife, there's no kenas. The Pshim Menasya says, no, it's not enough that she could become your wife. She has to be able to remain your wife. What does it mean? Very simple.
Becoming your wife if she cannot remain
your wife? Well, I'll tell you the difference. If a client comes over to a divorcee,
what if he's divorced himself?
It doesn't matter. Only the woman. You can't marry a female divorcee. Okay? Now, if a kohen comes over to a divorcee, or somebody comes over to mamzeres, yeah? He gives her a ring. We just got through saying the kedushin is valid. They need to get. Can they stay married?
Yes.
No!
No, they have to get divorced.
Is a kohen get married to
a divorcee?
Divorcee.
So the kedushin is valid that she needs to get, but he's not allowed to stay married to her. A kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee. Right? Yes, they give her a get. But is the Kedushin valid? Yes. Did she become his wife? Yes. Can she remain his wife?
No.
No. So that's the difference. Shimon HaTimani says, in order to pay fine, she has to be able to become your wife.
To stay with
her? No. Become your wife. That means if you give the Kedushin, it's a valid Kedushin.
So
even though she cannot remain his wife, but the fact that she became his wife, there's no, then there's kenas. Shimon HaTimani says no. Shimon Menasseh says no. It's not enough that she could become your wife. She has to be able to remain your wife. And therefore, even though it's a lav, where the Kedushin is valid, but you still can't stay married to her, so over there, there's also no kenas. If a kohen marries a divorcee, let's get practical. A kohen marries a divorcee, yeah? He's not allowed to. Does she need a get?
Yes.
Is he allowed to stay married to her?
No.
If he stays, it's another law.
No, he can't stay married. He's not allowed to marry her.
So what is the point of marrying her then?
He didn't care. He wanted to do whatever. Let me tell you a little secret. It's a very difficult test for people, but there are cases, there are cases today, yeah, where a kohen was not religious, but he's 100% kohen, yeah, married a divorcee, either he wasn't religious, he didn't know, he didn't care, right? Yeah? And then they become Bali Tshuva. It happens.
They
have to divorce.
And then what happens?
Sometimes the test is too great, they don't. It's a very good test, you know. They love each other, they have kids. But Torah says they have to divorce.
So what happens then?
Nothing. They're frumi, but they're living, this aspect of it is a problem. But I'm saying you can have a case, practical case today. Okay, it happens, by the way. It happens. I know cases that happen. A kohen marries a gerusha. Okay? It's a full-fledged marriage. She needs a get from him. because the Kedushin is valid. Can they stay husband and wife? No, he has to divorce her as soon as possible. Right? So, in other words, she becomes his wife, but she can't remain his wife. So Shimon HaTimani says, as long as she's able to become your wife, meaning Kedushin is valid. So that's a big reason that's why you can pay the knas. Right? So, according to Reb Shimon ben Manasya, it's not enough when the Torah says she has to be your wife, don't you cannot divorce her. She has to be able to remain your wife, so then a chayv lavin wouldn't be a mamzeris, so you'd have to divorce her.
But what if they have children?
Doesn't matter.
Then would the children be considered bastards?
Not bastards. According to Rabbi Kiva, they would be called mamzerim. But according to the halacha, if it's only a negative commandment, they're not, if you do it with a mamzer, so the kids are mamzer anyway, but I'm saying, occurring with the grusha, occurring with the divorcee, is cholod. Yeah, but that's a unique din that they're not koyhanim. But as far as full-fledged, right, they're not mamzerim.
They're Jewish.
Yeah.
So can people still live together? That's the question.
No, they have to divorce.
So they can't live together.
No, they have to divorce.
And they get divorced, but they can still live together.
Oh, no. Let's try this again.
Okay, they get divorced. Okay, they get divorced.
That's it. They don't.
They're finished.
They're finished.
Same thing. Okay. And you know,
Can go to Amman, all those things.
And you know things like, and you've seen people like that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Does the male have to pay child support to deaf children?
You go to court to discuss that.
these are modern day questions that, you know, I mean, perhaps they weren't the subject back then.
They were subjects back then. Okay, next. So therefore, the Gemara, okay, now the Gemara said a brisa, now we're explaining the brisa, right? One second, the first part of the brisa says, Arayis and Shniyis don't have knas. So the Gemara asks, what does it mean? So one answer of the Gemara is, Arayis means the Bezdin kills you, Shniyis means Karis, you get Karis, so then there's no knas. But if it's a lav, then there is knas, because she's fit to become your wife. Or we could say Arayis means Karis and Mises Bezdin. Shnias means a lav. But why isn't there Knas? Because she's not fit to stay your life, to remain your wife. That's Reb Shimon Nasi's opinion. Okay? Now the Gemara is going to explain the next case. The next case is what's called Mama Enes, right? The girl refused. She became, right before she became 12, she refused the marriage.
Chalo could marry the Shem?
Yeah. Chalo's not a Kohen.
Yeah,
no. 100% not a Kohen.
So if the son also becomes to Shul, he cannot have an Aliyah as a Kohen?
What son? If a Kohen marries a Grusha? Or Giyeris?
Yeah.
Or, no. Now that he can get Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi, Shishi, Shmi, Maftir. Yep. Now what happens if you have a Suffolk Cholo?
What?
A doubtful Cholo. Because we don't know if the woman had a get or not, whatever. Okay, case where it's a doubt. So then, the kid cannot get Kayin, because maybe he's not. He can't get other aliyahs because maybe he is a Kohen. So the only aliyah he can get is Maftir. For those people that add aliyahs, they can get the Achron, the last aliyah.
So what disqualifies a Kohen nowadays, besides marrying a Grusha?
I mean, officially...
What if he continues to go to cemeteries or...
Officially, a guy that keeps going... a Kohen... that doesn't keep the laws designated for a Kohen, it means he goes to cemeteries, he goes to funerals, he goes to all these things, can't give him Kohen.
What if he doesn't know?
Well, we don't practice that.
Depends where.
What if a Kohen is so secular, he doesn't know what's
going on? I practice it here.
What if there's a Kohen who's so secular, he doesn't know?
Ignorance is not an excuse.
What?
A Kohen who is very secular, and he doesn't know anything.
Doesn't know he's a Kohen?
Yeah. Well, he knows he's a Kohen, but he doesn't know the rules or anything like that. But no one would explain it to him.
Well, to send him to Chabad, they'll teach him. Don't send him to the garage.
Besides that, if you're unaware of that, would that be considered a sin?
But once he knows about it...
Yeah, but you have to be... Everything that you talk about talks about warning in advance.
That's for punishment.
Kohen, I realize that, but if the Kohen is unaware of these rules and regulations, would that be considered as a sin?
A not unknowing sin, yeah.
Unintentional sin.
Unintentional sin.
So ignorance is bliss.
Well, it's still a sin.
So what
if you drink poison and you don't know it's poison, is ignorance bliss? I'm asking you. I'm just, no, serious. If you drink poison and you don't know it's poison, you think it's a health food. Straight from all the health food stores.
Right.
Yeah?
Right.
But it's poison.
Right.
But it's unintentional.
Right.
You're gonna die or not?
Yes.
But it's unintentional.
Correct.
The point is, it's poison.
Two different things, though.
No, it's not. It's spiritual poison, physical poison. Same thing.
It's a Gidushin and the saying, it wasn't kosher edin. Then they still need to get or they don't need to get. If one coin married that woman, or married that woman,
this is the question that goes on a lot today. A woman who is married to a guy, not a coin talocha.
Yeah.
Okay? So normally, lechatchila, because they lived as husband and wife, right, they need a get. Because they live together, they're still living together, it's husband and wife, not boyfriend, girlfriend, they're husband and wife. They need, you know, they have kids together. It goes Mr. and Mrs. So lechatchila, they need a get. What happens if they didn't? And she remarried somebody else, and they have kids. So today they paskin that because the first wedding was invalid, and therefore she didn't need a get after the b'diavad, you know. So then the kids are not mamzeira. Okay? Now, what happens if a woman wants to marry a kohen? So a woman was married not according to halacha, and now she wants to marry a kohen. Now there is a din that a woman, even if she got what's called reyach haget, even if there's a smell of a get, you know, maybe it was given on a doubt, maybe it was... Once the get is in the air, she cannot marry a kohen. Okay? Yep. Got it? So now what happens if a woman was married, not religious, conservative, reform, whatever you want to call it. Yep. And then they split many years later. Now she wants to marry a kohen, but she never got a get. If she's going to get a get from the first husband... Then she can't marry a kohen. Mm. Right? So what do you do?
No.
Is that called annulment? There's no annulment in Yiddishkeit. The first marriage was never valid. It's not annulment. Annulment means it's valid, but you annul it. That's what's in Charles and Prince Charles or whatever. But then, you need big rabbanim to do this. But then a rav will say, she doesn't need a get, and therefore she can marry a kohen. Because she was never divorced. But if she got a get, even on a doubt, she can't marry a kohen.
Oh? Only a kohen gadol has to marry a psula?
Yeah.
But not a regular kohen. A
regular
kohen also, no?
No. V'hu isha b'psula yikach is by a kohen gadol. Isha zayna v'chalala le'yikachu v'isha grusha me'isha le'yikachu ki kodeshu le'likov. Beginning of Parsha Samar, right?
Yeah.
Okay. A kohen does not have to marry a psula. He has to marry a woman who had, even if she had relations, it had to be with somebody that he would be allowed to marry.
That she would be allowed to marry.
Huh?
Somebody that she would be allowed to marry.
Correct.
Yeah.
So if a woman, let's say, was with a guy, then she can't marry a kohen. because she wouldn't be allowed to marry the goy, even once. That's the problem today. Kayanim, who are Bali Tshuvas, right, is looking for a Bali Tshuva girl, but a Bali Tshuva girl today that was on campus, the chances of her being a virgin is below zero, and the chances of her being with a guy is also very strong.
Would the rabbi ask that question?
So sometimes you ask, sometimes you don't. That's a whole debate.
If it's a guy,
you
can't? You
cannot.
If it's a Jew,
if a girl had relations once with a guy, intimate relations, she can never marry a guy.
Why? Because?
She called a Zaina.
Oh,
Zaina means a woman who had relations, not what we call today a prostitute. Zayna, by a kohen, the Gemara says, what is the definition of a zayna? Shenivlala lemisha asala. That's the expression of the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch. That she had relations with somebody she would not be allowed to marry. That means, if she had incest with her brother, let's say. Or, if she had with a cousin, because you can marry a cousin, it's not a problem. She can marry a kohen. But if it was with a relative that she would not be allowed to marry, huh?
Incest or goy?
Father molested her, brother molested her, because she cannot marry the father or the brother. So she's called a zayna, and therefore she cannot marry a kohen. If a woman had relations with a guy, she can't marry a kohen, because she cannot marry, she couldn't have married that guy, correct? So therefore,
with a Jew.
A woman that had intimacy only with Jews could marry a kohen. As long as it wasn't a guy, she wouldn't be allowed to marry. Like
the
I
question
said,
is, well, someone had to explain it to her before and she starts dating a kohen. That's the question.
People do.
People have to ask the questions, right?
Listen, a lot of times girls call up and they say, can you please tell me if I'm allowed to marry a kohen? So I'm not going to say to her, okay, were you with? So I say to her, let me tell you the criteria. I told her the voice. I said, I don't want her to answer me. I said, a girl who did A, B, C, D cannot marry a kohen. That's all.
So you were
I don't ask.
Toodaloo.
Toodaloo. Goodbye.
See, he calls like that sometimes.
Toodaloo.
There's questions today. If a kohen is going out with a girl, does he have to ask her? Who were you, the guy? So it depends which rav, some rabbanim say you do have to, some don't. Well, it's the big issue today. Kohenim have a very big problem with finding Kohenim Bali Tshuvas. Have a very big problem with Shidduchim today. Because they're very limited. Right? They're very limited. Most girls today were with a guy at one time.
Well, why can't they marry someone who's 18?
Because now, not all 18-year-old girls want to marry a 40-year-old man, unless he has a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And he has a good life insurance, and then she kills him at 42.
do we have mamzerim in town too, or no?
I wonder if in this town there's a...
No, practically, like...
There's a lot of mamzerim around.
Yeah. All the show presidents?
All the show presidents.
Only if the get is not good, then it's going to be mamzer. In our case, like generally, in practical term.
If a person had a kosher marriage,
yeah,
and they're not religious, but their parents made them have a kosher wedding, and then they broke up without a get, she married somebody else, yeah. The kid is a mamzer. I'll give you another example, which is, I mean, it's biblically forbidden. A guy's married, this happens by the Persians also, it happens, I was told. You're not allowed to, if you marry a woman, yeah, you're not allowed to marry her sister as long as your wife's alive. That means, if a guy is married to a woman, to Rachel, okay, Rachel and Leah are sisters. If Yaakov married Rachel, divorces Rachel, he's not allowed to marry Leah as long as Rachel's alive. Yeah? And if he does, and they have a kid, the kid's a mamzer. Which a lot of times you have this today, in today's crazy world. You know, a guy marries a girl, and then he falls in love with her sister, he dumps her, marries the sister, right? And think, even if he gave his wife a get. But there it says, Isha l'chesu l'isikach, l'galis l'ervosa l'bechayeha. So if the, this he had a lot of times in Jewish history, Yaakov would marry Rachel, Rachel died, so then he would marry Leah. And no cases, no case that happened. It took once, one in Chabad not long ago, and one, my wife's friends in, from school, their kid. So, you know, Nebuch suddenly dies young, and then the sister knows the kids already, and it's just a little bit easier in, so then you're allowed to. But if the sister's still alive, you can't marry her sister. And if you do, the kids are mamzerim.
If it was a kosher wedding, if it wasn't yeah. kosher, then they can, yeah?
Right. Right.
But someone will have to explain to these people.
If it wasn't kosher, they can't. What?
Someone will have to explain it to these people, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
They will have to explain it to these people.
Yeah, the yeah. problem is that there's so many reform synagogues. You know, this religion is, you know, everyone makes decisions for themselves rather than
true.
Follow halacha. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you're right.
And when they accept converts, every Tom, Dick, and Harry?
Yeah, I mean, there are, you know, same-sex synagogues.
Yeah.
Completely feel that okay.
these are absolutely. So what we call a zayin, we mean a kedeshin.
When a person says a zayna, we mean a harlot, a prostitute.
A
but in Torah, when it says,
yeah.
Isha zayna v'chalohu lo yikochu. You know, there's a very prominent Sephardic family, Azulai. There's a very common, you know what Azulai stands for? Isha zayna v'chalohu lo yikochu. No, that's the story origin of the name.
Daughter
that's what I was told.
Zoyna, what?
No. Azulai. Somebody said the name Azulai stands for Isha. Look, Zayna v'chalala lo yikachu.
What does that mean?
There's a family name Azulai, which is a, no, I don't think so.
So what is it?
But no, it, I don't know why they got the name. But somebody told me that name's origin is what the Torah says: a prostitute, halala, you know, whatever. They can't marry. I don't know if it's, this I was told, maybe it's not true. But.
So if somebody wanted to do Kedushin with his sister after he divorced his wife, is the Kedushin not even a Kedushin?
No, it's not Kedushin.
It's not even Kedushin.
It's biblically fair, punishable by Kedushin.
But if you don't actually marry that sister and you have a kid from her?
It's a mamza.
It's still a mamza.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to marry her.
Right.
By Kedushin.
Right.
Wow.
If a guy married, lives with an Ashish, even though they didn't get married. I mean, it's the same thing. The kid's still a mamzer.
That's the corruption of society, unfortunately, as a result of this innovation.
Correct.
So what if a woman marries Shnius? Like, and then she can marry Kukoyim?
It depends what you're defining Shnius. If you define Shnius that, like you said at the beginning, Shnius medivi safrim. Yeah? Then it's a thing with Rabbanin. It's a mamzer with Rabbanin. Right? Then it's a mamzer with Rabbanin.
If they had a kid?
Yeah.
Could she marry a coin after?
No. Probably not.
Because it's only used with Rabbanin.
There's another din by a coin which is not in the Torah. It's with Rabbanin, this din. A coin is not allowed to marry a girl whose father is not Jewish. But if they got married, they don't have to divorce.
Father is not Jewish.
Right. But I'm saying, not a kohen is a normal 100% wedding. There's a certain, you know, the father is not Jewish, so the kohen cannot marry the daughter. Yeah? I know a shidduch was broken off many years ago here in town. They didn't know the girl was adopted, and then they found out that the girl's father wasn't Jewish. The biological father. So they were from people, they broke off the shidduch, because it wasn't allowed to marry her. But if somebody didn't know that and they did the wedding, they can stay together, they don't have to get divorced.
We need to go back to Israel.
Israel's worse than here.
Yeah?
And these things, why not? I mean... What Tel Aviv is so from? I mean,
you remember the coming of Mashiach?
The Kohen can marry a
kid. The problem is so much assimilation. You know, they forget these laws, or they don't want to acknowledge their spiritual world because they're so caught up in the material world.
I remember there was a case here in Shul. You were there then. A long time ago. This guy started coming to Shul. He said he was a designer, whatever. That's a nice thing. So, I used to go, I wasn't so busy in those days, so I used to go learn with him privately. He had a house up in the mountains up here, over here. Beautiful view. Anyway, I started learning with him. He tells me that his wife was married in Morocco, and the husband beat her. She ran away. Okay, and he married her. She never had a get.
Oh, wow.
He came from his last name was a very prominent Sephardic, not as old, very prominent Sephardic family. So he had a kid.
Oh, wow.
And I'm thinking to myself, my God, what the heck's going on over here? It's because the mom's there. Then he tells me that his father, who had this very prominent name, was the black sheep of the family. He married a guy, a shiksa. So his mother's not Jewish, but his father was a Jew. So this guy I'm learning with is a guy.
Wow.
Okay? Who's married to this woman from Morocco who was beat and then ran away from her husband. Okay, so I said to him, so he says to me he wants to convert. Because I told him, you're a guy. You know, I was young and naive. I just said the way things are. You know? hey, you're not Jewish. I said to him, but thank God you're not Jewish.
Yeah.
Because if you'd be Jewish, your kid would be a mamzer.
Wow.
But because you're not Jewish, the din is your kid's not a mamzer. So there's a catch-22 situation.
Wow.
Because if he converts,
then he can't be married to
then he can't stay married to his wife anymore. Mm. Because he was with her.
If you convert, you can. Or cannot.
You're not.
No, you cannot?
No.
She
doesn't have a get.
But he wasn't Jewish then.
I know, but now he converts.
Okay.
His wife is a married wife to the first guy, Morocco.
Ah, still with the problem.
Yeah. And he had some connection in Morocco. He said the guy refused to give a get.
Wow.
So he said, and he arranged it, by the way.
Wow.
Eventually. He arranged that they beat up the guy, he gave a get to Morocco, see, I don't know.
And then he converted and he got married again?
No, then they checked left town, I didn't even know where they are today.
The kids are not mamzer, for sure.
The kid's not a mamzer.
Wow.
In fact, what's interesting here in Shul was, I was the only one, the guy used to come with tzitzis out, black hat, tzitzis out, you know, he's one of these instant balchuvists, there's already the tzitzis out and the black hat, you know, like instant pudding, instant balchuvist.
This guy?
Yeah. And
boy.
Yeah. And nobody knew in Shul he was a guy. Nobody in Shul knew he was a guy. But one time was, except me, I was the only one that knew. Anyway, came one Mincha Maariv, not Shabbos, during the week. He was number 10.
Oh.
And, you know, we always start on time. And it came time for Mincha, let's say 7 o'clock. And I'm stalling, I'm looking outside, I was davening at, I got a problem, I can't announce this guy's a guy. What am I supposed to do? We don't have a minion though.
I have an emergency, I have to run.
And, no, so anyway, so, this guy in the show, he passed away already, this guy in the show came over to me outside, I was standing outside, I didn't want to stay inside because everybody, let's go, I walked outside. Meanwhile, hoping for a minion. So this guy says to me, he was a very smart guy, he says to me, that guy's not Jewish, right?
How did he guess him?
Because all the other guys he knew. So I didn't answer. Anyway, the Eibishter helped, Hashem was kind, a minute later a guy came.
Did you call him up to the Torah ever?
No.
But beforehand you probably did, right?
Did you ever had you called him up to the Torah?
I found out right away.
You can write a book about this,
huh? Write a book about a lot of stories.
Oh, yeah. Wow, I didn't